Let's pray. Father, just speak into our hearts. Speak the truths of your mercy and what that means for our lives into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. When Tiger Woods consistently made good news as he won major after major, he attracted advertising from companies keen to profit, both sports companies, but also other companies keen to profit for having the best golfer in the world on their books, using him to build up their revenues. They wanted to be associated with the best. But when Tiger Woods made headlines as a sex addict who cheated on his wife, someone who would sleep with different people constantly despite being married, and had scandal connected with his name, many of these companies dropped him. Gillette, AT&T, Gatorade and Accenture. Four of his biggest sources of revenue dropped him. They didn't want to be associated with his scandals because they thought his name might then make people like you and me less likely to buy their products. However, Nike, the sportswear manufacturers, stuck with him, thinking that their customers were more interested in who was the best sportsman and what such people wore than the scandals. But the others did not want to be represented by him, as they thought he did not represent their values. He was not a good representative for them. Having him represent them would not convince others to buy their products. Well, today we see Jesus sending out the disciples as representatives of the kingdom of God, telling others about it, giving them the offer to partake in it, and he gives them clear instructions of what to do and not to do. At the start of the passage, we find Jesus teaching and healing, doing all he can for those around him, but he's conscious that there's more people than he can get to who need to hear the good news, who need to hear the kingdom of God. Verse 36 reads, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." Now, these days, farmers tend to use fences to guide sheep. And when the fences come down, particularly in high rains, the sheep wander off, going their own way. But in Jesus' time, the sheep would have their own shepherd, who they'd know, who'd fulfill two roles. One, to guide them into paths they should follow, but also to protect them from some of the predators who might eat them. So they'd want a shepherd around for their protection. Sheep without a shepherd here are a picture of people, going their own way, because they don't have teachers telling them correctly about their God, so they don't know any better. But they want to hear the good news of the kingdom of God, the news Jesus brings. So Jesus, seeing the need for more workers, turns to his disciples and tells them to talk to God about it, to ask for more workers. They can see the need, at least they can if Jesus points it out to them. So they should ask God about it, that it meet the need that they see around. Verse 37, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Obviously, if you're harvesting crops and you don't have enough workers, you ask for more. And the same is true with the kingdom of God being represented to those who need to hear it. And obviously, ultimately, anyone going to people to proclaim the kingdom needs God's hand on them for success. Generally, God chooses to use people, but it's his kingdom and his work calling people to the kingdom. They can't enter without him. And God enables people to go and proclaim the kingdom. He's in control. So the disciples are to ask for workers. And that's something we can all do. We can all ask God to send people. But please note the next verse. 10 verse 1. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. The disciples were not going to be allowed to sit on their couches and look for someone else to go, thinking, I simply have to ask God and he'll send someone else. Other people will do it. All I have to do is ask him. That's what the disciples weren't able to do. They were not being spectators to the work of the gospel, cheering others on, the others who were actually doing the work. While they were to ask God to send workers, to send help for the people in need, they were also a part of answering the prayer. And one of the things about praying and genuinely asking God to solve issues is that if we're doing it out of compassion, we're more liable to respond to the needs around us, to drive out demons, to even raise the dead. Now, there are two things going on here. This is a very particular occasion. Jesus is giving the disciples authority to demonstrate the kingdom. They have seen him do it and are now following his lead. It's also the coming of Jesus. People are hearing and seeing him for the first time and are seeing that the kingdom of God has freedom, has healing. The disciples would go on to represent the kingdom after Jesus died. And while we know from Acts, healings, deliverances happened, at times regularly. This wasn't always the case. But they were still to represent, to teach the kingdom then, to let others know. It isn't easy today. In Australia, we're in a culture that thinks it knows the good news, yet desperately needs the power of God. Those around us who don't know Jesus desperately need his mercy, his salvation. But it's not the disciples who are here to represent the kingdom of God, to represent the mercy Jesus showed us by dying for our sins on the cross. It's us who are the people of God here. And while we might not be called to go around Australia, we're the ones who represent Jesus in West Wyalong. And while we may not have the same authority as the disciples going out here, we can still pray for healing for the sick and see results. In China, there's a story recently in the church. A city was going through a time of healing. People were becoming Christians. Of a woman approaching a man, asking if he was a Christian. And if so, could he pray for her husband who was in hospital? The man said he'd come and pray for her husband at 9 a.m. the next day, and that it be healed. The woman was happy, only to get back to the hospital and be told her husband was dead. So she ended up taking the Christian to the morgue. Wei praised for her husband to be raised from the dead. And he didn't just pray that day. He did it on three successive days. Apparently on the third day, the man, actually a communist leader, suddenly vomited a big cancer tumor the size of a ball and sat up. God does heal today. He even raises the dead today. And not just in China. He also can heal here. When I first came, we saw a couple of examples of healing that we prayed for that doctors could not explain. So we can pray for those around us and expect God to act as we seek to represent his kingdom to them. But like the disciples, it's not just praying, but also being God's representatives here, responding to the needs around us, sharing the mercy we receive on the cross. While we may not have to travel to share the gospel, if we have the kingdom and have received the mercy shown through Jesus, if we value all Jesus brings, surely it should show in our lives as we represent him to those around us. Jesus continues, "Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep." The good news Jesus brings is given to us for free. Jesus pays the price for us on the cross. We receive mercy freely, so we're to give freely. So what are full-time workers for the gospel? Well, Jesus is clear. The worker's worth his keep. Today's different from biblical times in how we look after full-time workers. And we'll look at that shortly. But if we want people to work for the gospel full-time, we have to make it possible. However, such workers are not to do it for the money. I know that there are examples where people do. I've been told of a pastor in the US wearing a massive gold chain to services. Others living the lifestyle of millionaires with multiple jets. Are they giving the gospel freely, or are they attracted to the wealth that they can get? Yet, on the other side, there are many who earn far less working in ministry than they did in their jobs that they did beforehand, because they have gospel priorities at heart. And that should be true of workers in any church. Jesus specifically tells the disciples to go to communicate the kingdom and not to take gold and silver in their belts. Rather than get paid for it, they would seek accommodation at a worthy person's house. This may sound scary to us, but today's a different culture. In a different time. The context was in that culture, news was hard to come by. It's not like today, where we have television and newspapers. The only way was people travelling through the town. Visitors to a town were offered accommodation in return for the news that they brought. And the disciples brought the best news. That the kingdom of God was near, that the anointed one, that the Messiah had come. And that meant they were worthy of accommodation and could expect people to provide for them. Now, this was a particular moment when the kingdom of God was going out. Later on, Jesus would tell them to take a bag and sandals with them. And if they didn't have a sword, to purchase one. That they'd face different issues. But at this stage, the news they were bringing was new. And they could expect people to respond. and provide for them. But that does not mean that there was no risk of rejection. They're told to go to a house of a worthy person, enter it, and share their peace with it. They have peace with God because of Jesus, and are to share that peace with the house. But Jesus goes on to spell out the risk of rejection. Even at this time, when the harvest was plentiful, people wanted to hear about the kingdom of God and how it was near. There were those who would reject it. If anyone will not welcome you or speak to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. If they were rejected, the disciples were not to worry about it, but to leave the home or town behind. The dust from their feet would be witness against that place. The disciples could be at peace for having done their bit, but the town was in trouble. It would face judgment for rejecting the good news of Jesus. And in fact, that judgment would be far worse because of the rejection. It would be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, the infamous cities considered the worst in Israel. Sodom was the city that when two visitors came, the town tried to drag them out from a home and rape them, not realizing they're angels. Apparently Gomorrah was as bad. And they received judgment by God destroying them, raining down sulfur upon them. Yet a town rejecting the good news of Jesus faces worse judgment than that. People are judged by their response to Jesus and his mercy. Sodom and Gomorrah never saw Jesus. These towns have. We live in an age today where Jesus has come, where we've heard the good news. We've heard of Jesus. We need to respond to that mercy or face judgment. Face judgment that's worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Face judgment for rejecting the mercy that God's offering. If it costs God sending his son to the cross to offer us mercy from his wrath, we need to respond. But also, as we seek to represent that mercy to others, as we respond and represent his kingdom, we have to know that not everyone will respond. There are times we'll be rejected, but we're not responsible for that. We're not responsible for the results. We're only responsible for communicating the kingdom of God and all that Jesus brings. For representing the kingdom we're a part of. If others reject it, they've had opportunity to hear. They've had opportunity to respond to the mercy. However, for us, we're responding to the love and mercy God gave us freely in Jesus by offering it to them freely. Shall we pray? Father, we ask that you'll work in our lives, that you will speak in our lives and speak through us, that as we represent you to those around us, we'll be able to communicate of your kingdom, to speak of your kingdom, and that others would hear it. Help us to be used by you to bring mercy, to bring your mercy to others. In Jesus' name, Amen.